came through Big Stone Gap a while ago again. I'm familiar with this. I told you last time I was here, I preached at Appalachian and different places, but had an experience at Big Stone Gap I thought of. Tom and I were talking. I said, I went back years ago. I guess it's been in the 60s, maybe. Maybe I was in my 40s. But preached at Big Stone Gap and a Free Will Baptist Church. Brother Caudle was pastor of the little Free Will Baptist Church in Big Stone Gap, and he invited me to come preach for him. And I was flattered. I was so happy and went down and preached and had a great, wonderful time. He let me preach the gospel that I love, you know. Never will forget this. I finished my message and told him my Bible and stepped down, and a tall, gray-haired man, I can almost see him now, came walking towards me. Man up, I was in my 30s. He's up in years. He came walking towards me, and he looked at me, and he said, son, he said, I ain't never heard those words before, but that's the way the Lord saved me. What you preach tonight is the way the Lord saved me. God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. He recognized that God had done a work in his heart. He couldn't explain it in words, theological word, but he knew what had happened in his heart. Well, at that very meeting, Brother Caudle called on a preacher to lead in prayer. A man I knew. And he got up to dismiss us after that message. And I never will forget what he said. I never will forget what that old gray-haired man said. I never will forget what that preacher said. He prayed. He said, Lord, if I've sinned in coming here tonight, you forgive me. And I thought, two men, same message, different reactions. This old man heard from God, and he was left in his Phariseeism. That's sad, isn't it? But the gospel will be effectual to the hearts of people according to the Lord's will. It will happen. And that's what we're looking for, isn't it? That's why I'm here. To see if the gospel runs well for all of us. The book of Job. I want you to turn to chapter 1 first. The book of Job. You know, the book of Job is said to be the oldest book in the Bible. I can't verify that. Can you? That's what they say. The book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And when you study the book of Job, you'll come up with this thought. It has to do, the whole book of Job has to do with what God said about Job and what Job said about God. That's what this book is about. What God said about Job and what Job said about God. And watch this, chapter 1, verse 18. Verse 8. Let's start with verse 7. Job 1, verse 7. And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down on it. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Have you set your heart on my servant Job? On who? My servant. God said about Job, he's my servant. He's my man. He's my child. Read on. And there's none like him. There's none like him in this earth. Perfect, mature, an upright man, a man that fears God and hates evil. That's a pretty good recommendation, isn't it? I've heard preachers say they didn't know whether Job was saved or not. Sounded like the Lord thought he was saved. He's my servant. He's a perfect man, upright, that loves God and hates sin. Now listen to this over in Job 42. Job chapter 42. See what God says about, what the Lord said about Job here. Now remember, my servant, perfect man, upright, that hates evil. Now listen to Job 42, verse 7. And it was so, Job 42, 7, it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against your two friends. For you have not spoken to me the thing that's right, as my servant Job hath. You fellows hadn't told the truth about me, but Job told the truth about me. Isn't that a pretty good recommendation? The Lord says, he's my servant. He's a perfect, upright man. He loves God and hates sin. And he told the truth about Christ. All right, now let's see what Job said about God. Turn to Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19. This is that great, great confession. Job's confession of faith. Job 19, verse 23. Here it is. Watch this now. Job 19, verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. And they were, weren't they? Oh, that they were printed in the book. I've got it right here in my hand. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock for write this on my tombstone, he said. Write this on my tombstone. An iron pen laid in the rock in the stone forever. I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. Amen. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, although my reins be consumed within me. That's what Job said about the Lord. That's his testimony. I believe he's a saved man. I sure do. I love his writing. So I'm going to turn to chapter 14 now and bring you a message from the book of Job, chapter 14. Now, take chapter 14. Let's just look at it together. The first two verses of this chapter tell us a whole lot about ourselves. And then the next 10 or 12 verses ask four or five or six vital questions. The vital questions. Powerful question that Job asked God. All right, here's the Job 14 woman. Man that's born of a woman. Man that's born of a woman. What's that say? It says this, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's what we are. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, in sin. My mother conceived me. That's what I am. Flesh, sin. David said this, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. Man that's born of woman is a sinner. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. I want you to remember something. I want to tell you about the four nuns. I bet you never forget this. You know who the four nuns are? There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understand it. There's none that seeketh after God. And there's none good, no, not one. Now you'll remember that, won't you? That's us. That's us. None righteous, none that understand it, none that seek after God, and none good, no, not one. Man born of woman. That's the state. Right, watch this. The next line. Man that's born of woman is a few days. David said, Our days are passed away in God's wrath. We spend our days as a tale that's told. What is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a few days, just a little while, and then it vanishes away. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream, dies at the close of day. Change and decay, oh, I know about this. All around like me I see, oh, thou that changest not, abide with me. Man is born of woman, and he's a few days, just a few. I hadn't got many left. I'm glad. I've got a good hope, a blessed future. Few days. All right, watch this now. Man that's born of woman is a few days. Now watch this. And full of trouble. Let me tell you this. Sin and trouble go together. If we're born in sin, we're going to have trouble. Now you just write it down. We're born in sin, we're going to have trouble. God said that to Adam and Eve. Turn to Genesis a minute. Genesis chapter 3. Sin and trouble. Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Genesis 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because you've hearkened to the voice of your wife, and you've eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, from dust you are, and to dust you shall return. That's us. That's us. Man, born of a woman. Few days and full of trouble. You know, the Word of God says this, writing to God's people. Exhort them to continue in faith. For we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You know about that. Brother Gary, you've been through that over the last several months. Much tribulation, much heartache. But that's our path. And no telling what's ahead of us. But it's just worth through much tribulation. You're going to enter into the kingdom of God. All right. Man. Born a woman. Few days. Full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower. He comes forth like a flower. And is cut down. Turn to that Isaiah 40. Where the Pastor read a moment ago. Isaiah chapter 40. Listen to that a minute. Isaiah chapter 40. Let's read it. Verse 6 through 8 here. We just read that a minute ago. Isaiah 40 verse 6 through 8. Listen. The voice said, cry. Well, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is as what? Flower the field. The grass withered, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withered, the flower fadeth. Why does the Lord keep comparing us to a flower? I'll tell you why. Number one, like a flower, we came from the earth. But he said, dust thou art, to dust you gonna return. Flowers all come up from the earth. Come from the earth. Secondly, a flower, like a flower, we come from the seed of another flower. Adam knew Eve, and she bare a son, the son of Adam. Every one of us came from the dirt. Every one of us came from another fallen man. Now read, thirdly. And watch this. Like a flower, he looks good when he's young. I've never seen an ugly baby. I think babies are the cutest things in the world. They're so cute, they're so lovable, they're so wonderful, and then they start growing up. And they wither and die. My, my. That's us. We're like a flower. We came from the earth. We came from another flower just like us. And we're going to wind up just like them. Wither and die. Fade away. Let me show you this. Turn back to my text. Job 14. Man born of woman. Few days full of trouble. Comes forth like a flower he's cut down. And he fleeth as a shadow. Now this will really shock you. This is really something. He's like a shadow. What? And the Bible talks about us being like a shadow in several places. I'll show you this. First of all, a shadow is an empty thing. A shadow has no substance. Where the light shines, there is my shadow. There's nothing there. It looks like something, but it's not there. We're like a shadow. We got no substance. There's nothing to us by nature. That's right. Secondly, a shadow is soon gone. It flees from the light. The Lord says, our days on earth are as a shadow. There is none abiding. And let me tell you this. And when a shadow's gone, it leaves no bark. That's all we are. We're nothing. No substance. And we go quickly. The light shines and we're gone. And then, nothing left. Nothing left. Turn to Psalm 103. 103. You say, you're cutting us down pretty good. We're supposed to.
Yeah.
Oh, listen to Psalm 103,
yeah.
Verse 14 through 16. Listen to this, Psalm 103, verse 14 through 16. Listen to this, Psalm 103, verse 14. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth it with dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As the flower of the field, he flourisheth. And the wind passeth over it, and it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. Oh, we'll grieve for a while. We'll miss them for a while. But after a while, they never brought up. After a while. That's right. It reminds me of cows in the field. You go by the pasture, and there's a whole bunch of cows out there in the field. And the farmer comes out, and he brings his truck out there and lowers the ramp, and he gets a pretty fat little cow or calf or heifer or whatever, leads him away and puts him up on his truck and shuts the tailgates, and all the other cows eating, and watch him go. They're taking him to the slaughter. Then he come back 2 or 3 days later, he get another cow. And they all look up and they watch and take him away. After a while, there ain't none of them left. But the one left, the last one there, still eating on his cud. Didn't know what's happening. Let me show you a verse of Scripture. Listen here to Psalm 32, verse 9. Psalm 32, verse 9. And this ought to open our eyes. This is Psalm 32, verse 9. Right along this line. Listen to this now. Psalm 32, verse 9. See if I can find it. Psalm 32, verse 9. Be not as the horse, or the cow, or the mule, which have no understanding. We need to have some understanding of what's going on here. Job's telling us what we are. He's telling us what we are. And then I'm going to tell you what God says He can make of us. All right. Back to Job. Back to Job 14. Job 14. Now that's the beginning. Man born of woman, few days full of trouble, comes forth like a flower is cut down, fleeth as a shadow and does not continue. Now Job asks five questions. Let me give you five questions. Verse 3. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one? Lord of heaven and earth, do you look on these worthless shadows and flowers and weeds that are cut down and cast into the oven? Are you interested in us? Do you open your eyes upon such a one? Do you care about or consider these frail, sinful, worthless creatures that are like weeds to be cut down and cast into the fire? Well, the question is not, does he see us? The question is, God sees everything, but the question is, does he look upon us? Does he regard us? Does he have an interest in us? Is he mindful of us? Yes, he is. That's the good part. I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. The question is, does God look upon us? Does he regard us? Does he have an interest in us? Is he mindful of the sons of men? Listen to this scripture. Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the sun, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visited him? What is he? Is God mindful of us? What does it mean to be mindful? When he says, what is man that thou art mindful of? What does the word mindful mean? Well, it means this. It means to be marked out. It means to be regarded. It means to set your affections upon. How? Job says, Lord, this being the case, what I am, do you care anything about me? Are you mindful of me? Do you regard me? That's what the thief on the cross asked Christ. You're not going to stay dead, he said. You're coming into a kingdom. Would you remember me? Would you be mindful of me? Would you set your affection, love upon me? The Lord said, I will. Today you'll be with me in paradise. He does. There's some he loves. Let me show you a scripture for that. Turn to Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 3 through 5. Psalm 111. Lord, do you open your eyes upon such a one? Such a one? Well, he does. Not only open his eyes upon them, but sets his heart upon them. Psalm 111, verse 3. Listen. His work is honorable. Psalm 111, verse 3. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him, and he will ever be mindful of his covenant. Oh, that new song, new covenant, new way through the veil, new heaven, a new earth, and a new creature in Christ. He's put a new song in our mouth. Turn to Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verse 11. Psalm 115, verse 11. Listen to this. Psalm 115, verse. You that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Yes, he will. Job, I've answered that question for you. Does the Lord regard us? Is the Lord mindful? Will he look upon us? He certainly does. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Here's the undeniable proof that God looks with favor upon us. Turn to Galatians. Galatians 4. This is the undeniable truth that Almighty God does look upon us with favor, with love, with grace and mercy. Galatians 4, verse 4. I like this. Listen. Galatians 4, 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into your heart, crying, Father, Father. That answers it, doesn't it? All right, here's Job's second question. Job's second question in Job chapter 14. Let's turn back to Job 14 and verse 3. Job says, dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one that we've been talking about? And verse 3, the second line says, do you bring me into judgment with you? This is interesting. Will God bring me into judgment with Him? Now we know what we are. Frail, weak, sinful creatures at best. We know who God is. Holy. I wish I could explain who God is. I can't. Holy, just, perfect, pure. All right, Job said, you going to bring me into judgment with you? And I hear a lot of talk about judgments. They talk about the five judgments or six or seven judgments. I hear a lot of talk about the general judgment, judgment of nations, judgment of Israel, judgment of Christians, judgment for reward. But old Job, he didn't want any part with any of them. He didn't want any part in any kind of judgment having to do with God and truth and righteousness. Job realized that he's no match with God. That God's not a man that he should stand together with a man in judgment of truth and righteousness. So Job says, don't bring me into judgment with you. Let me miss the judgment. And I have missed it, and you've missed it. There is therefore now judgment, no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. None whatsoever. You know what David said? Turn to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. This is a powerful scripture here. David says in Psalm, I don't want anything to do with the judgment. I don't mind being a person standing by watching it, but I don't want to participate in it. I don't want to participate in any kind of judgment. Any kind. All right, watch this Psalm 143, verse 1 and 2. David says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man be justified. We don't want anything to do with the judgment. None whatsoever. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquity, who's going to stand? I don't want to be a participator in any kind of judgment. And we won't be. There's no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. Because the sin debt's paid. We're perfect in Christ. All right, here's another question Job asked. Verse 4. All right, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? You know, Job and his friends asked that again and again and again. Let me show you some scripture. Job 9, verse 1 and 2. Job 9, 1 and 2. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Job 9, verse 1 and 2. Then Job answered and said, I know it's so of a truth. But how can a man be just with God? Look at Job 15. Job 15, verse 4 through 14. Job 15, verse 14. You have it? Job 15, 14. What is man that he should be clean? Can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean? He that's born of a woman, that he should be righteous? God puts no trust in his saints. The heavens are not clean in God's sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinks iniquity like the water? Can the Ethiopian change his skin?
No.
Can it be changed? God can. Nothing's impossible with God. Can the leper change his spot? Can he be changed? Make him a new creature. That's right. Let's look at that question again, Job 14. It says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? God can. God can. Purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me in the blood of Christ, and I'll be clean. With God, all things are possible. Who said, my arm is not short that I can't say, and my ear is not heavy that I can't hear. I used to go to Mexico almost every year when we had three missionaries down there one time, Brother Pledger, Brother Howard, and Brother Walter Groover. And Doris and I went down almost every year. But there were three things you had to have to enter Mexico. I don't know about now, about then. You had to have proof of citizenship, birth certificate. You went down, you had to have a birth certificate. Got to prove that you're born in the United States. Two, had to have a visa. That is, put out by the Mexican government. And where they will accept you. They'll let you come in. They'll accept you. Number three, we walk up. You remember this? We had our birth certificate, had our visa, and then walked up to a fella, and he got a record book out like this. And he began to look for names. And he said, you go on to, you know where he's looking, make sure we didn't have a police record. We didn't have any charges against us. Well, that's true of everybody who enters glory. Got to be born again. Born of the Spirit and the Word. Got to be a child of God. Got to be born again. Yeah. Number two, you got to have righteousness. Got to be accepted in the beloved. Number three, got to have no record. A preacher, I've got a record. Not now. In Christ it's put away. Yeah. No charge against you. There's therefore now no charge. Who should lay the thing to the charge of God's elect?
Right.
Let me in. That's right. Born again. I'm accepting the beloved, and I got no record. There used to be a black preacher in the South, John Jasper. Rhapsody in Black, his life story. And a well-known preacher. But somebody said to him one time, John Jasper said, you expect to go to heaven? Yes, I do. What if you came to the gate and they asked you, what right you got to be here, John Jasper? What you going to answer? He said, I'm going to answer, I ain't got no right to be here at all. I'm not here on my rights. I'm here on the righteousness of Christ. Well, he said, what if they let you in and then they put you out again? He said, no, they're not going to do that. He said, if the Lord puts me out, he's going to lose more than I lose. He said, John Jasper, how can you talk like that? God's going to lose more than you lose. Well, if God puts me out, having been washed in the blood of the Lamb, God's going to lose his honor, and I'm going to lose my soul, but he's going to suffer the greatest loss. His honor. His honor is engaged to keep the weakest of his sheep. That's good. That's pretty good, if I did. All right. Let's see the next word here. Job 14, verse 5. All right. Let's look at verse 5 through 10. Seeing man's days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, and thou hast appointed his bounds, he can't pass. turn from him, that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hired in his day. Now there's hope of a tree. If it be cut down, it may sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. That's a tree, you see. And though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. You've seen fence posts that in real wet, like Mexico. They cut down these trees and make fence posts, and they grow. They get enough water, sunshine, and they grow. That's what he's talking about here. And verse 9 says, yet through the scent of water, it may bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dies and wasteth away. He goes back to the dust. He gives up the ghost. Tell me where he is now. If I die right now, if the Lord takes my life right now, I drop dead of a heart attack, y'all going to, I hope he'll pick me up and take care of me and bomb me and put me in the ground. But where am I? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross. He died on that cross. That guy shoved the spear in his side. Water, blood and water came out. Took him down the cross, put him in a tomb. Where was he? The right hand of the Father. He said today to the thief, you'll be with me in paradise. I don't have a problem with that, do you? My body's in the ground. His body was too in the ground. His body was in the ground. But he was with the Father. And that's where we're going to be. If this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. We're going to be with the Lord. You understand that? That's so. Here's his last question. Verse 14. Verse 10, that says, man gives up the ghost. Where is he? He's with the Lord. All right, verse 11, as the waters fail from the sea, floods decay and drieth up, so man lies down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep till it's over. If thou wouldest hide me in the grave, so that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, if thou wouldest appoint me a set time, remember me. But here's my last question. But if a man dies, shall that man live again? Shall that man live, know, and be known again? Will he be like he was? He won't be like he was. He'll be new, all new. God makes all things new. But he'll be who he was. When Elijah and Moses appeared on the mountains with our Lord, it was Moses and Elijah, not somebody else. That's what Job said. Though skin to destroy this body, in my flesh I shall see my Lord, not another. I'm going to see him. So when we die, we're going to rise. We're going to wake. Same person I am right now. Henry May, Chris, Eastwood, Tony, Pastor, you're going to be who you are. That's right. You're going to know and be known. And that's we have that in Luke 24. Turn to Luke 24. Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 36. Luke 24, verse 36. Now, when our Lord died on this cross and his body was in the tomb, his soul was with God. That satisfies me. And we'll be with God. All right, when he raises us from the dead, and whenever that is, I can't explain all of it, but I know he raised Christ. Now, look at Luke chapter 24, verse 36. Verse 36. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified. They saw him die. They were affrighted. They supposed they'd seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, My hands, my feet. It's I myself. Handle me. Reach out and touch me. And see, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. I have flesh and bones. Glorified flesh. Holy flesh. Bones. Flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. I believe he showed them the scars. I believe he still bears those scars, side and his hands and feet. Why would he show them his hands and feet? It's the wounds. And while they yet believe not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you any meat? You got something to eat? And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and ate it. And he said to them, these are the words I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said to them, thus it's written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I hope that's a blessing to you. I hope the Lord will use it for his glory and for our good. Thank you, buddy.